This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، the kind of world that we live in today normalizes so many sins that they almost go unnoticed, uncontested, accepted, and sometimes even celebrated. And one of those destructive sins that seem to go unnoticed is the sin of zina, fornication, and adultery. And a Muslim who understands their faith, where their faith is dear to them, can never be okay with zina. Not with its practice, not with its predominance, not even being close to it. Because Allah Azza wa Jal had made iman in one side and zina on the opposite. You will see that in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers, those who have iman, are successful. And then he lists the attributes of the believers who have that success. And among them is, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Those who safeguard and protect their private parts. Indicating here that success, that prosperity in the hereafter and in the dunya, that iman is tied to this act. So if a person compromises that command, a person is no longer successful, he has no falah, and is no longer a believer, a mu'min, even though he is still a Muslim. He exits from iman, he loses iman, though he is still a Muslim. And to that, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَا يَزْنِي الزَّانِي حِينَ يَزْنِي وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. He says, the fornicator, the adulterer, do not or does not commit this act while having iman. Iman and this act are contradictory. He says, he does not commit it while having iman. In another hadith, he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, قال, إذا زنى الرجل خرج منه الإيمان فكان كالظلة فإذا انقلع عاد إليه. He says, when a person commits zina, iman leaves him and hangs above him like a cloud or something that gives him shade. I mean, it leaves him. So if he repents, if he quits, if he stops, it goes back. And another sahabi, so that you understand, he drew a circle. And he said, this circle is the circle of iman. Then a wider circle around it. He says, this is the circle of Islam. If a person commits zina or similar acts, he leaves the inner circle of iman. He goes to the circle of Islam. He is still a Muslim, but he does not deserve the name of iman as a praiseworthy title. Subhanallah. A person who commits this risks the loss of his iman. And when you lose something like this, you never know if it's going to come back or not. And it steals from you all the beautiful things that come with iman. A person who commits zina, does he or does she expect that Allah will bless their life? Bless their relationship? Give them the beauty and glow of iman? Give them serenity and peace in their life? It is so destructive that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, "Az-zina kharabu ad-dunya wa qiyamu as-sa'ah." He says, zina is the destruction of this world and the approaching of the Day of Judgment. It's a sign. Why does he say this, rahimahullah? He said this because Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said that. He said, مَا ظَهَرَتِ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا إِلَّا ظَهَرَ فِيهُمُ الطَّاعُونُ وَالْأَوْجَاعُ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمْ. He says, if illicit sexual intercourse is public among the people, then plagues and diseases that are unprecedented will spread amongst them. That's Allah's punishment. That is, if you practice this, Allah will send a plague, will send a disease that people did not experience before, but you will experience as punishment. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam also said, مَا ظَهَرَ الرِّبَى وَالزِّنَى فِي قَرْيَةٍ إِلَّا أَحَلُّ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. It says, if a people practice riba and zina publicly and it's widespread, they are inviting Allah's punishment. And that punishment, if someone wonders, he says, well, how come it didn't happen yet? Allah's punishment comes sooner or later, and it takes different forms. It takes the form of economic decline, social friction, diseases, mental health issues, It's a host of punishments, and Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful. So don't think that the punishment, because it was delayed, that the punishment does not come. You may be experiencing collectively the punishment of zina and not notice it. It's destructive. It will destroy this world, whether we know the reasons or not. But we believe Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam when he said this, and he promised it. And he also said about the Day of Judgment, he said that from the signs of the Day of Judgment, أن يقل العلم ويظهر الجهل ويشرب الخمر ويظهر الزنا. He says that knowledge will shrink, meaning Islamic knowledge, and ignorance will be widespread, and people will drink alcohol, and zina will be public and widespread. So the more that this spreads, the more you understand that this order, the social order, and then the physical order that we have is dissolving. And when that happens, the Day of Judgment is right around the corner. So a person wants to spare himself from punishment. He stays away from this. And indeed, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. He says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. He says, do not come close to zina. Indeed, it is indecent, shameful, immoral, and it's an evil path. And if you ponder this ayah, you'll understand so much about zina. Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He said, do not come close to it, He understands the allure and destructiveness of zina. When is it that you say to someone, don't even come close to this? And when that thing is so dangerous that even coming close to it is contaminating. And when that thing is so attractive that getting close to it will pull you and suck you in. So you say, always keep a distance from you and that, because if you come close, it will destroy you, contaminate you, and you cannot resist it. That's true about zina. Even if you do not commit the actual act, if you are around, you're contaminated. And if you are around, you will not be able to stop yourself. And Allah tells you what is wrong with it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً. It's immoral. It is indecent. SubhanAllah, they said that if you want to insult someone and you want to truly insult him, you always associate this person with immoral sexual acts. In almost all cultures, you really want to put him down, you associate him or his family, indecent sexual acts. They say that is because everybody knows in their own fitra, in their own culture, that that is something shameful. You want to stay away from it. So a person who is still has decency, a culture that still has decency, will hide this thing. If a person even commits it, he never goes public with it because he knows he could be shamed because of it, could be insulted and put down because of it. So he hides it, she hides it. That's fahisha. And imagine, when you put a fahisha into your life, what is it going to do to you? It pollutes you. It takes away joy from your life. Why do you get married? Ask yourself. Says, I want to find some sakan and sakina, stability, tranquility, peace. That's why you get married, in a companion or with a companion that will stay with me and take care of me and I can rely on. Zina doesn't give you that. Zina is lack of commitment, lack of support, lack of fidelity. A person who can commit this can commit so many other evil acts, because if you commit the higher indecency, the lower indecency also can't be committed. You can't trust them, you can't rely on them. You're always in a state of angst and anxiety about their commitment and whether they're going to stay or not. You're not going to find stability and you're not going to find serenity. And what do you think when you make a choice like this? They said Allah will take barakah from your face. The glow of iman will depart. barakah from your heart, the comfort of iman will depart. Barakah from your life, barakah from your money, barakah from your house, it all goes away. And he also said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wasa'a sabila, it's an evil choice and an evil path. And some people, when confronted with a choice, they think to themselves, well, I'll choose this because I like so and so. I'm attracted to them. I want to find out if we are compatible. It's easier to do this. Marriage is complicated and difficult. I'm in love. I cannot get married until I do these things. And we ask ourselves, when these thoughts come to our brain, is your choice better than Allah's choice? Do you think that if you choose that path, that Allah will bless you, or that choice, or that Allah will bless that love? Rest assured that if you love someone, one of the strongest things or most effective things that you can do to destroy that love is to disobey Allah with them. If you love someone and you want to be with them, if you want to spoil that relationship, commit haram. Because you bring the shaitan in, and the shaitan will damage any relationship he is brought in. So if you honor that person, if you respect that person, you will never compromise them and compromise yourself, steal their iman and damage your own iman and damage that relationship. If you want it to blossom, if you want peace, you go with Allah's choice, not with your choice. The sabil of Allah, not your own sabil, not the whispers of shaitan. But it's so normal. And you find Muslims, subhanAllah, even in Western and in Eastern lands, talking about my boyfriend, my girlfriend. What designation is this? And if I don't do this, if I don't go out with them, if I don't talk to them, if I don't engage in this haram, I'll never get to know them, I'm never going to get married. Becomes normal. But subhanAllah, Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he said, قال لا أعلم بعد قتل النفس ذنبا أعظم من الزنا. He said, I do not know of a greater sin right after killing someone than that of zina. Right? If you ask people, almost unanimously, what do you think about killing someone unjustly? He said, absolutely horrendous, absolutely haram, absolutely wrong. Everybody agrees. What do you think about zina? If it's consensual, it's okay. Imam Ahmad said, no. Right after killing someone, if you commit zina, you've committed the greatest crime, regardless of how people think about it. It's the greatest crime. And if this is taken from what? Taken from an ayah and taken from a hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا. See how Allah Azza wa Jalla will list these sins. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those do not who invoke with Allah Azza wa Jalla another god, another rival, and do not kill a hallowed soul unjustly, and do not commit zina. And the one who does this will face the penalty, will have double the punishment on the day of judgment, and will be in it forever. So the listing is shirk, killing someone, and then zina. And that is exactly the same order, the order that the Prophet ﷺ had explained. When someone came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about the biggest sins, the biggest of the biggest sins. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that you would take a rival with Allah Azza wa Jal, though He created you. He says, and then what? He said, that He would kill your son out of fear that he will eat with you, out of fear of poverty. He says, and then what? He said, that you would sleep with your neighbor's wife. Commit zina with your neighbor's wife. The same order from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he recited this ayah that I just recited. So it's not something small. And the way that we look at it is the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla looks at it. So if we want to save ourselves from it, we heed Allah's command and His prohibitions. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us of those people. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، I know that a lot of things are working against us. There are some structural societal elements that promote zina and discourage marriage, promote the haram and discourage the halal. But despite all the obstacles, we are supposed to resist them if we want Jannah. And the greater the struggle, the greater that Allah will reward you. And the greater your reliance on Allah Azza wa Jal is, the greater that Allah will come to your aid. So the first thing we say, that if you want to avoid zina, is dua for yourself and anyone that you are entrusted to raise and educate. A person, a young man, came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once and he said, Ya Rasulullah, idhan li bizzina. He says, O Messenger of Allah, allow me to practice zina. So the Sahaba were outraged, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said, leave him. He said, come close. And he came close. And he says, atuhibbuhu li ummik. He said, would you love something like that to happen to your mother? He says, O Prophet of Allah, never, not to my mother. He says, atuhibbuhu li bintik. Would you like something like that to happen to your daughter? He says, never, O Prophet of Allah, not to my daughter. Qala atuhibbuhu li ukhtik. Would you love something like that to happen to your sister? He says, no, Prophet of Allah, never to my sister. And then he continued, to your aunt, maternal or paternal. He says, never, not never to my aunt. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, similarly, people do not love something like that, do not approve of something like that to their mothers, to their daughters, to their sisters, to their aunts. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam put his hand on him and he said, Allahumma ghfir dhanbah wa tahhir qalbah wa hassin farjah. Falam yakun yaltafitu ba'da dhalika ila shay'in min hadha. So he said alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a dua for him with his hand on him. He said, Ya Allah, forgive him his sin, purify his heart and protect his private parts. So they said, this man afterwards never paid attention to that sin, never wanted that sin. So this is a dua that you could recite for yourself and for your children. Ya Allah, forgive them their sin and purify their heart and safeguard their private parts. And you keep making that dua. And it's interesting that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed that man's attention to what? That you should love for people what you love for yourself. So if you're going to sleep with someone, she is someone's daughter, why would you do that to him and her? She is someone's sister, she is someone's mother, she is someone so-and-so, and he and they care about her. If you truly cared about her, you would never do that to her. If you really cared about him, you would never do that to them. You would never steal their iman. So you want to do something, think about the common good and not only your own desire and your own advantage. Because otherwise Allah Azza wa Jal will take from you the thing that you love the most, as you took from people the thing that they honor and they love the most. So dua. The other thing is to safeguard the entry points of zina. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, al-aynani tazniyani wa zinahum an-nazar. He says the eyes commit zina, and their zina is an illicit look. And the ears committing zina, and that their zina is the illicit speech. And the tongue commits zina, and its zina is illicitly speaking about what Allah hates. And the hands, they commit zina, وَزِنَاهَا الْبَطْشِ, when they touch something unlawfully. And the feet, legs, they commit zina, and their zina is al-khuta, walking towards what Allah hates. وَالْقَلْبُ يَهْوَى وَيَتَمَنَّى, and the heart wishes and longs. وَالْفَرْجُ يُصَدِّقُ ذَلِكَ وَيُكَذِّبُ, and the private parts confirm or deny that, accept it or reject it. This is a really important and beautiful hadith from Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. When we think about zina, we think about the ultimate act. He's saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, before you actually reach the final point, there are other acts of zina that precede it, that lead to it. And it begins with the eyes. So when you're looking at haram, that's the zina of the eyes. So you don't want to commit the ultimate zina, protect your eyes from zina. And I know that this is challenging, especially with the internet and with social media. But we have no option. We cannot surrender and say, well, what can I do? You could limit your exposure. You could limit yourself to the righteous. You could exclude those who disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. You could be around those who fear Allah so that you also will imbibe the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. But the eyes, whenever you see yourself looking at the haram, you restrain it. You look the other way. And Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that in the Quran. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believers, lower your gaze and protect your private parts. And to women, he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said also, يَغْضُنَّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. They would lower their gaze and protect their private parts. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنْ. And do not show your adornment. Because that's the thing that attracts attention. So the eyes, protect the eyes from zina. Protect the ears from zina. So listening to the haram that inflames the desire, including music. And most of the lyrics today, and Allah knows best, they motivate, they invite to zina. So you have to exclude and protect yourself from that. Otherwise, it's going to affect you. And then, talking obscene language. That is an invitation to zina as well. And he also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, as we said in the hadith, if you touch someone illegally, if you walk towards haram, that is also an act of zina of the hand and the feet. And if you protect yourself from those steps, you'll protect yourself from zina. And he also pointed, alayhi salatu wasalam, to an important organ. And probably it's the most important of them all. The heart. The heart longs for, thinks about, fantasizes about. So if a person really is going to commit zina, what comes before that is a conversation that he's going to have internally about wanting to have it. And how he's going to have it. If you allow your heart to think, to fantasize, to want the haram, there's almost nothing that could stop you from committing that haram. So you also have to restrain your thoughts. You have to restrain your conversations that you have on the inside. And if you do so, with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will protect you. Finally, we say that Allah Azza wa Jal, and you can say that spread throughout the Sharia, had established barriers between you and the opposite sex. And you are supposed to keep these barriers up, not to take them down. So consider, how casually do you interact with members of the opposite sex? And how that could lower your inhibitions and develop feelings, mutual feelings. So if you want to talk to them with decency, with respect, only as much as needed, and then stop. And don't lower those inhibitions by exchanging mundane banter, conversations, jokes, just because what? They're always around. No, you keep a barrier and you keep that respect for him and for her if you don't want to commit zina. Otherwise, if you start dealing with women or dealing with men casually, you are going to trespass what Allah Azza wa Jal had prohibited. So there's a reason why there is a hijab. There's a reason why there's separation. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla knows that we are weak. And Allah knows that the shaytan is there. وَهُوَ يَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. Allah, the shaytan runs through the child of Adam just like blood or in the channels. So we have to resist zina. And we have to remind ourselves and our children to marry, stay away from the haram, This is what Allah loves. Marry early. Grow up together. Rather than delay marriage and subject yourself to fitna. So ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, to protect us from the fitna of zina and from the sin of zina, and protect our children. We ask Ya Rabbil Alameen that you forgive us our sins, that you purify our hearts and safeguard our private parts. We ask Ya Rabbil Alameen to forgive us all of our sins, the major ones and the smaller ones, the ones that we still know about and the ones that we forgot about. We ask Ya Rabbil Alameen to give us a sincere repentance that erases all of our sins. Grant us Ya Rabbil Alameen living hearts that love you and love your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and rush to your obedience and run away from your disobedience. Give us Ya Arhamar Rahimeen hearts that love the believers and love what is good for them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you that you send your relief, immediate relief, upon the people of Gaza and the people of Palestine and the people of Asham and the people of Sudan and every other Muslim spot where Muslims are suffering. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Rabbil Alameen, come to their aid. Ya Allah, defend them. Ya Allah, feed them. Ya Allah, secure them. Ya Allah, take fear away from their midst. Ya Allah, Rabbil Alameen, to respond to the plot of their enemies by plotting against them. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Allahumma ansur ahla Gaza ala man adahum Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ansur ahla Filistin ala man عاداهم رب العالمين. اللهم انصر أهل الشام على من عاداهم يا أرحم الراحمين يا عزيز يا حكيم. اللهم ارئف بأهل السودان واجمع قلوبهم على ما تحب وترضى يا رب العالمين. اللهم نسألك يا ربي أن تجمع المسلمين على كتابك وعلى سنة نبيك عليه الصلاة والسلام، وأن تجعلهم يدا على من سواهم. اللهم آتهم العزة والنصر رب العالمين، وأنزل غضبك ومقتك على عدوهم وعدوك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا أجمعين، وردنا إليك ردا جميلا يا أرحم الراحمين، وأقم الصلاة.